Welcome to Launch, where we explore the world of invention and entrepreneurship. I'm Jim DeBetta, here with my co-host, Ron Reardon, and our producer, Lee Cantor.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
You like that slowdown there?
That was good. You're usually Mr. Bouncing Off the Wall guy.
Kind of bringing it down a little bit.
No coffee, water? What's going on?
Coffee's gone. Got fresh water here.
You had an intervention? A caffeine intervention?
Ready to go, man. Yeah, maybe I need a second cup. Ron.
Yes, Jim.
We have a great guest today.
We certainly do.
Someone we both know, Nicole Haight. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am doing very well. How are you guys?
Good. You sound happier than we do.
I know. It's Thursday. The week's almost over.
You're right. I mean, we should be kind of excited about that. Ron, why don't you introduce Nicole? And we've got a lot of questions for you. So.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Well, yeah, Nicole is the director of INPEX, America's largest invention trade show over there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's also the director of corporate communications for the trade show's sister company, InventHelp. So, Nicole, how did you get connected with INPEX?
Well, I started out, kind of my background is in the television industry, and so I did that for a little while. And then years ago, I kind of stepped over into InventHelp and kind of learned the invention business, if you will, and learned as much about it as I could, and then kind of started to learn about the trade show and really kind of believed in what we're doing for inventors and kind of slowly worked my way up the ranks and probably took over the show a couple years ago. And so I like to travel. I travel all over the country to different shows and also internationally as well. Just meeting inventors and meeting people from companies to try to get them on board to come to INPEX as a business attendee.
Okay. Well, I noticed that the next INPEX show is going to be June 16th and 18th there in Pittsburgh, and that this is the 25th anniversary.
It is. It's the 25th anniversary. We're really excited. You know, the company's been doing this, obviously, for 25 years. So we're hoping that this year is kind of our biggest show yet to date. We're moving to a new facility back to Monroeville, Pennsylvania, which is probably about 20 or 30 minutes out of the city. And
that's the inventor capital of the world, right?
I think so.
Invention
Central.
The show's
been there about 23 years, and we moved it into the city a year ago, and now we're moving it back. Like I said, they just built a brand new facility, so we're excited about that. I got a chance to go and take a tour a couple weeks ago, so I think it's going to be really good.
Hey, Nicole, is that did they tear down that old building in Monroeville, like, because I went a few years ago?
They tore down a portion of it,
okay.
And then what they did was they shut it down for about a year. So, like I said, we had to kind of go find another home. And then CVS, the pharmacy, bought a huge portion of it, and they use it as a big distribution center now.
Okay. Well, can you kind of highlight what INPEX is and why an inventor would want to exhibit there?
Sure. As you mentioned before, INPEX is the largest invention trade show in the country. And for inventors, it gives them the opportunity to go to the show for a couple days, present their product to companies, put their product out on display, and, you know, not only exhibit for a couple days, but also go to classes and learn about inventing, whether it be prototyping, patenting, manufacturing, direct response television. So we try to educate inventors as well as give them the opportunity to exhibit with their invention and to meet business attendees. So for the inventor who kind of, you know, maybe has a product, has a prototype and a patent and hasn't really had much luck, it gives them the opportunity to go in one place and kind of meet all of these different people at one time.
Now, Nicole, at what stage can an inventor or should an inventor show up at the show?
Well, you know, we have inventors in all different stages of development. So there are people that come that have a rough prototype. We have inventors who come who actually have finished product and have 1,000 units sitting in their house. You know, it kind of just depends on the individual inventor. Majority of people, though, do have patents. I usually suggest that to people. And if somebody doesn't have a patent, I usually just, you know, advise them to either check with a patent attorney or, you know, there's some people who say, you know what, I'm never going to get a patent, so I'm just going to come and display. So that's kind of up to the individual. But, you know, we are kind of there for people in all different stages of development. I've seen everything. I've seen everything, like I said, from the rough prototype that somebody throws together themselves to somebody who has a beautiful manufactured prototype and finished product.
What's the biggest, home run that you guys have put through that trade show that maybe started there and did extremely well?
Well, probably, you know, we've had a couple products, but probably the biggest claim to fame is probably the Spin Pop. It's been around for years now at this point, but it is one of those things that I think everybody recognizes, and that is the lollipop with the, usually now it's been licensed to every, you know, Disney and Marvel, every character under the sun if you walk into Toys R Us, but it's the lollipop that goes down inside of the character and you press the button and the lollipop spins.
Yes, my kids, when we go to Disney, they sell those things for like $30. And
exactly.
If you don't buy them, they blow a fit. So I definitely am familiar with those. That's a very, very famous
exactly. product. It's a famous product, and the inventors came to Inpex, you know, back in the 90s, and they had, I believe it was two couples, and they had a rough prototype that I think they used an electric, like a screwdriver, one of the electric screwdrivers, yeah. And they had a lollipop kind of duct taped in there, and a representative from Cap Toys was at the show walking around, saw it, and from there, the rest is history. So that's probably the most recognizable, but we've had products that have gone on to do well in DR. For example, Rock Bottom Slots. It was an inventor who came. He was actually buying refurbished slot machines from Japan and kind of changed them around and changed the game from it being a game of chance, which is what most slot machines would be, to a game of skill where you had to individually stop each reel to get a winner. So he came to exhibit, and the Harringtons from Omni Reliant were there, and they took a look at it. They licensed that product. They did an infomercial on it. I believe it's made millions of dollars in a short form and a long form infomercial. So there have been some things, like I said, that are more recognizable, and then we have some other things that maybe people wouldn't necessarily recognize but have done very well for the inventor.
You know, Nicole, I think the key with shows like this, and I've been obviously to Impex, and I've been to every invention trade show and all the major trade shows, it's what you make of it as an exhibitor. A lot of people think that they're going to go to a show, set up a booth, and just kind of hope that people walk in. I think you have to be very active. And I've told this to people in their booths. I'm like, you know, maybe if you got up off your seat and weren't eating lunch, or you were actually not away from your booth, you have a better shot at actually interacting with the right people who can help you with your product.
Now, is the show where the inventor sits in the booth, or all of the vendors sit in the booth and the inventors walk around?
No, the exhibitors actually sit. So if I'm an inventor, I have a product, I have a booth.
So you have a booth. So it's filled with inventors.
Filled with inventors. And then obviously, and Nicole will get more into this about who actually attends to walk the shows, but if you just sit in your booth, and this is for any trade show, you got to reach out. You got to say hi to people, right. Shake hands, bring them on into your booth, and make the most of that opportunity.
Well, absolutely. Jim, you're absolutely right, and that's one thing. I actually was on Donnie Deutsch's show a couple years ago, and that was why he kind of brought me on to talk about kind of some tips for exhibitors, and that was what you just said is actually the one thing that I talked about, which is, you know, do not be sitting in your booth eating a sandwich. Do not sit in your booth and read the newspaper, because you become unapproachable at that point. I mean, I know myself, I go to a lot of shows, and as I'm walking around, if I see someone who's sitting in their booth eating lunch or engrossed in something, a magazine or something, I usually don't walk into their booth because I kind of feel like they're busy doing something else. And that would be the best piece of advice that I can give to inventors. Say hello to every single person that walks by. If they have a name tag on, you know, they have a lanyard on with their name, say, oh, hi, Jim, how are you? Take a step into my booth. Acknowledge people as they're walking by, because that could be the one person that maybe would have kept on walking, but now you drew them into your booth, and who knows, something could happen.
And I've done that. I've actually, you know, people, I was not going to stop in a booth, and somebody was just very friendly, and I did stop. But I've seen people sleeping in their booths. I've seen people
sleeping in their booths.
Sleeping.
Yeah. And
people just get comfortable. They kind of sit back. And that's the thing. Intex is a booth for exhibit. The exhibitors are the inventors, so they buy a booth. And after the classes are finished in the morning, then the show floor opens and they go into their booth. And I always tell people, you know, and make sure you have, it doesn't cost that much to go to a Kinko's down the street. If you're going to spend the money to travel to Pittsburgh to buy a booth, you know, spend a couple, you know, $50 and get some posters made, get some business cards maybe made, some some brochures, have something there for people to take away, because a lot of people, like myself, you go to a trade show, you walk away with a whole bag full of brochures and paperwork, and not until you get back to your office in a couple days do you kind of start to go through it. You want to make sure they have something to sit on their desk and look at a couple days later.
Now, where do the people get the girls in bikinis? Do they bring them with them to the
show?
They usually
bring those with them. I do not provide those.
Well, you know, what's just as effective as the girls in bikinis is a little bowl of candy, because I will definitely
absolutely
stop at a booth.
I can vouch for that. I have no candy in here because of Ron.
That's right.
Absolutely. I had one trick-or-treater. Do you believe that? I had one. So I have a whole bowl of candy that's been on my island now every day.
Is it a spinning lollipop? Is that what's left?
Nice.
I do not. Those are in my office, and we have a giant spin pop here in our office, in the Impact office, that I walk by every morning.
You could have spin pop wars, you know. But, trade shows that I've been to, I've also noticed that sometimes the booths will be vacant, you know, because the people, you know, are going out and having lunch or a sandwich, or they went to the bathroom. So I think it's important that there be at least two people at each booth so that they can kind of tag team.
Well, have somebody cover.
Absolutely. I had a person last year, I think it was our last show, who came all the way to Pittsburgh, bought a booth, and then never worked the booth, left and went sightseeing for 2 days. And
nice.
I'm thinking to myself, are you crazy? You know, that your product, while you want your product to speak for itself, you have to speak for it.
That's awesome.
And so, sitting the product there and some brochures and leaving for a day, that's not going to do it. You have to be there because you have to sell it.
Yeah, and I think that, people need to be ready to man that booth and have answers to standard questions. I know the trade shows I've been to, then when I would go up to an inventor and look at what they've got, and I'd say, well, what's the suggested retail price for this? And they look at me like a deer in the headlights. They never ever thought of the answer to that question.
That's true, and that's the thing. The inventors need to do their homework and their due diligence before they get to a trade show, because a lot of times the attendees only have a minute or two as they're walking by. They might have 30 seconds, and if you don't have the answers to their questions, they may think you haven't done your research on the product, and they may keep going.
Do you offer some sort of trade show boot camp to get these people up to speed?
At times we have. We've had, classes. We usually would do a class before, like the night before. When at that point it's a little late because people are already there. But we also do newsletters where we'll send out tips to people once they exhibit on some of the things. I know Skyline does a lot of these as well. Some of the things that they need to think about before they come to the show. That way they're prepared and they know what they should bring. And we also have during the university, so before the show actually opens on Wednesday, we have someone who comes in who kind of essentially does that. It's almost like a boot camp, and she teaches you how to pitch your product and how to work on your elevator pitch. So that way when you get out there on the show floor, you know what you're doing.
You know, it's like when I walk these shows and I see a product that I like, I mean, it's not rocket science. I don't need to know every little detail about their product. But if I walk up to you, stand up, you know, shake my hand, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? What do you have? You know, say it in a minute. You know, people want to talk all day long. You know, like you said, show me the product. Explain to me how it works. Got it. You know, what's the expected retail price? What's the expected wholesale price? You know what? I'd rather them say if they don't know. I don't know, and I'll get back to you. But what I find, Nicole, a lot, and I've seen this at every show I've gone to, is that 90%+ of the people that either give me a card or ask for my card and say they will follow up, never follow up. I think that's one of the biggest detriments to, you know, spending all that money and not being able to follow up with people who can help you.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I try to remind inventors of that. You have to follow up, because a lot of attendees that are going by are so busy and they've met with 200 people, they aren't going to remember you, and so you have to make them remember you. You have to leave that show and a couple days later give them a call so that, or email them or whatever the case is, so that they remember you and your product.
That's true. All right, Nicole, look, here's what I think a lot of people want to know. Who comes to the show? Forget the exhibitors. Obviously, they're there because they want to make connections. Who, other than people like Ron and I, who would go to talk to inventors, who shows up, and why should that matter to exhibitors?
That's the question on everybody's mind. That's the question when people buy a booth. They want to know, I'm paying this money to buy a booth. Who's going to be walking the show floor? And we get a group of people who run the gamut. We have everybody from manufacturers. We have people who distribute products. We have people who license products. There are direct response television people. There are catalog companies, prototyping companies, patent attorneys. So, you know, that whole list of people, then we have, you know, and those are people that are walking the show floor. Then we also have larger companies who, and I'm not saying that the companies that are walking the show floor are small, but we have larger companies who hold private product reviews, and those are, I'm working those out right now. Right now I know Bosch is coming back, still waiting to hear from a couple other companies, but the companies who hold private product reviews, they're in a separate room, and the inventors who have appropriate products that match the criteria that those companies are looking for, the inventor gets to go in, let's say to Hasbro, for example, present their product, they get their 2 minutes, and then these executives from Hasbro will give them feedback whether they think it's a product that they would be interested in and adding to their current product line. But more than that, they give the inventors feedback. So what's great is they can say, okay, well, you know, maybe this isn't a product we're looking for, but you need to tweak this, you need to change the color, you need to, you know, make this change. So the inventors are really getting just great A feedback from executives from these companies that they wouldn't have the opportunity to get if they weren't at the show.
Yeah, you know, when I walked the show, I remember seeing – I actually saw some friends there from some of the direct response TV companies and one or two catalogers that I was like, oh, my God, look who it is. You know, just – and they're looking very quietly. And that's the thing. A lot of inventors, if they don't see a big name tag, they think that all those people aren't showing up. But, you know, my friends that are buyers, you know, they don't – they want to be inconspicuous.
They don't advertise, right?
So they want to come
right by,
be kind of incognito. So it's the same old thing, Nicole, like you said, and we know. You've got to say hi to everybody. You never know who anybody is. I mean, I'm a service provider, and certainly so people are going to pay me to help them, but people still need that help. But I still go in there, and I try not to, you know, come right out and say what I do. I just kind of look at inventions and products that I think look great and have some merit, and I want to approach people that want to be approached, and that's so important.
Well, and a lot of things, too, that inventors don't know, a lot of even buyers for QVC or vendors who take things to QVC, they run their own companies. So they're going to walk by and not have a lanyard on that says QVC.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that what they do, you know, that they don't take products to shopping networks. I mean, for example, Karen Hyman, who's a good friend of ours, who's the president of LiveLink, that's what she does. She takes products to QVC, but when she goes walking by, her name tag's going to say LiveLink, and an inventor might say, oh, that's not a big company. I'm not going to talk to her.
Big mistake.
Big mistake, exactly.
Yeah, I think either next week or pretty soon, you know, we've got Kim Babchek, who's a QVC rep.
Exactly. Her and I have been playing phone tag for a week.
Right.
Yeah, and Kim is – I know Kim very well. She's a friend of mine. I do a lot of work with Kim, and I can tell you that – she is one of those people that she may be inconspicuous, but if you're an inventor and she walks by,
you want to know her.
You want to talk to her.
Right.
I mean, there's no question. She's got a lot of influence in TV shopping. So, and
absolutely,
you know, that's important. But
and I've been to some trade shows where it was basically inventors exhibiting to inventors because of that long list that you just gave of all the people that you have coming. They weren't at other shows, and I didn't think that the inventors got very much value for having a booth because there wasn't any scouts or wasn't anybody there that could really help them.
Ron wasn't there, so the show was
right.
I was there.
That's how Ron judges.
That's it. Hey, Nicole, what do you guys do in terms of pre-show, media or exposure for the inventors to help them, get seen or noticed? Perhaps before the show?
Well, we have an in-house publicity department here, and their job is to promote the inventors before they get here, obviously. So part of when an inventor buys their package, they get something called a hometown publicity program package, and that comes along with when they buy their booth, and our publicist will write a press release geared towards that inventor and their invention and their hometown. And so the publicist will then build a media list, send that press release out to the inventor's hometown to try to build some buzz locally where they're coming from and get them some PR beforehand. We also do a lot of national press releases. We send out a lot of, do a lot of different things to try to get the inventor some publicity. We put things up on our website. We put their descriptions up on our website. We will do individually matched media lists. So, for example, built on category. So if you have an inventor who has an automotive invention. We'll take a couple of those products, put them together, and send those out to automotive magazines. Okay. So on top of doing the local publicity, we also hit the trade publications as well and you know, try to get local media here interested. So we do that. We do, like I said, we do a lot of different things. We do a lot of pre-show publicity to try to get the word out, whether it's getting it on PR Web or PR Newswire, and hope that, you know, it'd be great if we could get it picked up by the AP, just to try to get the word out there as much as we can. We have inventors who, a lot of inventors will have interviews right on the show floor going on with radio stations, you know, making phone calls to trade publications if they want to talk to them while they're at the show. So there's a lot of buzz usually, and the earlier we start promoting, and that's why I always caution people to buy earlier, because the earlier they get in, the earlier then we can get their publicity done, we can try to get it out. Because a lot of what a lot of inventors don't know is that trade publications and consumer publications will work sometimes on a 6-month lead time, consumer pubs more than trade pubs. So, you know, the earlier we can get it in and try to get them some pre-show publicity, the better.
Now, that's great before, of course, but what about after the show? I mean, social media marketing, Nicole, is huge. If you're not there, it seems like you're not really in business these days. But what is done, if anything, after the trade show on you know, sites like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, to help inventors when they go home?
We are involved. We are involved in Facebook and Twitter, Impex and Event Help. We are. You know, heavily involved in those sites. I go on and tweet every day. So, you know, we do a lot of pre-show publicity for the people that have won awards. So, you know, if somebody wins an award, we do a whole nother media blitz involving that. But we also have the capabilities to, like I said, use Twitter, use Facebook to kind of put information out there about the inventors utilizing PRWeb, PR.com, which is a free service. So we try to, once the show is over, to also continue to publicize the inventors and their inventions. And I will say we have a lot of inventors who are really good about following up with us after. I have a blog on the Impex site, and if I hear from an inventor after the show that something has happened for them or they've gotten a license deal from the show, I like to go on and write about it just to kind of get the word out there. The man who just won in 2008, because we didn't have a show in 2009. So our show in 2008, Fred Kona, who was our Grand Prix winner, he took home a check for $7,500. He just sent us an email that said what he's doing and that he just sold his first unit. So I went on and wrote a blog story about that. So just, you know, I like to hear from the inventors as well. It gives me the opportunity. If I have the material, I can go on. I have the ability to promote it.
Okay. Well, one of the values of going to the trade shows is the education that inventors got. Can you share with us a little bit about Impex's Inventors University?
Sure. The university goes on every morning before the show floor starts. So from 8 a.m. to noon every day, there are different classes that the inventors can attend. And again, this all goes along with their price that they pay for their package. So this doesn't cost them extra. They can go to the classes. We lay out the schedule so they can pick what they're interested in, or they can choose to go to every class, because we try to do it in such a way so that the classes don't overlap, so that nobody feels like they're missing something. And we have speakers who talk on all different subjects. Jim actually scheduled to speak on, you know, a myriad of different things: prototyping, patenting, licensing, like I said, direct response. We have people who will kind of coach you so that you can perfect your elevator pitch. We always have one big keynote speaker that comes in every year. We just announced it's going to be Nolan Bushnell this year, who was the founder of Atari, who then went on to found Chuck E. Cheese. So we always try to bring in someone who has a really good story, who has something that's recognizable that the inventors can kind of relate to. And like I said, that goes on every morning before the show floor opens. So when the inventors walk away at the end of the night on the final night after the awards dinner, they can kind of walk away feeling like, well, maybe I didn't get a deal, or maybe I didn't get a license, but I now know this, this, and this. I feel like I'm leaving educated, more educated than I was when I came in.
Yeah, that's funny, because I was going to say you had some great speakers there. Of course, I was going to say my own name.
Yeah, right. A little self-serving.
But you beat me to it, so I'll lead it on that.
Legendary Jim DeBetta, you know.
Well, exactly.
I mean, of all the shows, I mean, this is the only show that I plan on going to, you know, for 2010, if, you know, for pure invention trade shows. I mean, like Unicole, I go to a lot of the big ones, like Housewares.
Industry shows,
and,
right.
Right, and because I have to keep a pulse on what's going on there, and we have clients that go, but I mean, your show's always been the biggest. It's always been the most organized. And, you know, I'm hoping, and I think, you know, based on what I'm seeing already, that it's going to be very exciting. I think the inventors, you know, throughout 2009 have just missed going to all these shows. And I think it's going to be a great way to kick things off.
Do you attract people internationally, or is this kind of primarily North America or America?
We do. It's an international show, so we have inventors who come from all over the country, but then also we have international delegations. So we have a large delegation from Croatia that comes, from Malaysia, from Taiwan, from Korea. A lot of the international inventors, their inventions are a lot more technical and than the inventors that we have from the States. But, you know, we have a lot of these delegations who've been coming for years. And like I said, I travel to their shows. They come to ours. And they've actually had some good luck as well. An organization that's here in Pittsburgh is called the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And then we also have another organization called the Allegheny Conference. And they're very interested in the Malaysian delegation. And a lot of the inventions match up with what they're doing. Pittsburgh is a big technology hub, as you probably know. So, you know, we have Carnegie Mellon here. We get a lot of people who are interested in the international inventions that we have on the show floor.
Okay. Well, one of the things I've noticed is as the economy has just really, you know, been tanked and everything, there seems to be a real resurgence on innovation and inventions. And I don't know if it's because people are either out of work and they decide
they have free time.
They got free time, or they're afraid that they're going to get laid off, and so they want to have a backup plan, you know, an invention that they've had tossed around their mind. You know, have you seen an uptake in people wanting to invent?
Absolutely. You know, we usually, I mean, I think it's one of those things where this recession hit, and I think everybody kind of got hit, but in the past, you know, it always has been that way. People are getting laid off. They're worried about losing their jobs. And so you see people who are being a lot more inventive, people who actually who've had inventions kind of sitting in the basement or on the shelf for years that never did anything with them, that now are saying, you know what, maybe I better start to pursue this. Or, you know, I just lost my job. I don't have anything in the coming up. Why don't I try to, you know, do something with this invention? So you definitely will see that, you know, when the economy has kind of taken this turn, people are trying, and you see, and it's funny too, because the actual types of inventions that you see are kind of geared. You know, a lot of people, they start to grow their own food. They start to have gardens. You'll see more eco-friendly inventions. So I think it just kind of, the tide turns completely during these times.
Yeah, and, you know, the statement is that it takes years to be an overnight success, and we've got, you know, case after case of inventors that usually it's about a five-year journey from when they have the concept to when the invention really takes off. Do most of the inventors know that this is going to be a marathon and not a sprint?
You know, I hope so, and that's one of those things that we try to tell people and that I tell people that, you know, just going to a trade show, for example, just getting your prototype, a lot of times, like you said, the success rate is very small, it takes a long time, it's just something that needs to be massaged over the course. Sometimes it takes people 10 years before something finally happens. Something may never happen. It's a long process, and you don't want people going in with expectations like, oh, I'm going to buy a booth at Impact and then all my problems are solved, because that's not the case. And the majority of time, that's not the case.
Well, people still think that anyway, but I mean,
they will.
There's only
they
so
will.
Much,
no matter how many times you tell them, they will, but that's okay.
And it's tough, but well, I mean, that's why, you know, the Inventors University is critical. I mean, I think for inventors, in many cases, getting the education part of the show is even more important
right.
than just sitting in a booth, because that's the big issue, that there's just a lack of knowledge of the steps to inventing and the realities and risks to inventing. So
they don't know what they don't know.
I mean, I think people need to be at those classes. I mean, I've gone to the classes just because sometimes I pick up, you know, a couple of tidbits of things that I did not know. And I think that is important for people to really say, yeah, I'm not going to go sightseeing when I'm at a booth, but,
right.
you know, but I'm going to take advantage of every second, you know, from, you know, 7 in the morning till 7 at night or whatever it is, you know, everything that goes on, you can really get a great baseline for everything that you need to do. You know, at your show, which I think is terrific. So,
well, and what I like to do as well, especially with the keynote speakers, I really like bringing in people who have kind of had that rags to riches back to rags story. I mean, we had Wally Amos last year who built this company. Everybody knows the famous Amos cookies. And then he lost the company and lost everything. And Diane Ranger, who started Bare Minerals, which is a huge, you know, makeup company, and she got pushed out. So I like people to come in and tell these stories because I think it gives a reality, a sense of reality to the inventors that, oh, wow, even these people who made it at times didn't really make it because things happen along the way.
Yeah, because that does happen quite a bit. You know, whenever I go to a trade show or any kind of seminar or anything like that, I'm looking for just one nugget that I can use or just one contact. And if I get more than that, then I'm really ecstatic.
Absolutely, and that's why, like I said, the follow-up is so important because it may be someone on the show floor that you talk to for a couple minutes and you kind of disregard it, but you follow up with them after and something ends up coming to be that you weren't even expecting.
That's the key. So, Nicole, okay, so where do people go that are listening now or that obviously they're going to learn more and more about Impex as you guys continue to promote it? What website, what email address, where can they get information right now to learn about it and hopefully sign up for it and be a part of it?
Sure, they can go to our website, which is inpex.com, INPEX.com, so that's pretty easy. Once you get to the website, there's a bunch of information on there. There's a form on the website that you can fill out if somebody's interested for more information, they can do that. But there's also a phone number. It's 888-54-INPEX, and they can call in. They'll probably get me, myself, or one of our salespeople I can pass them off to for more information. And then there's also a website on there, info@impex.com, and they can always shoot me an email. That'll come right to me. They can send me an email with any questions they have. And we're also, like we mentioned before, I'm on Twitter. It's Invention Show. I need some more followers. So anyone who tweets, by all means, go on and see. You know, I try to update every day what the latest thing is that we're doing. We just finished our floor plan. So anybody that's interested in buying a booth, they can easily come on come on board and pick their booth.
Yeah. Can you pick your spot? I mean, I know that people ask this a lot.
The spot on the floor? You're allowed to do that?
Can you choose, or is it just right at this point, you know, what's left, so to speak?
You can. You can pick your spot, but obviously the later that people wait, the more spaces are taken. So, you know, the earlier right now, people that are buying, obviously it's early, they're kind of getting the pick of the litter because they can go on the show floor and pick wherever they want. But as it gets closer, if you buy in May, obviously you're going to get, and obviously the places on the ends are prime real estate because that's right where people are coming in. So a lot of people like to be on the end. So as time goes on, you get pushed a little further
back. But they're all good spots. I mean, you know, it's not, your show obviously is the biggest one in the invention business. But Nicole, you've been to shows like CES or Housewares where, you know, location really becomes more important because those things are so mammoth that, you know, it takes you 2 days to walk from one end to the other. But you've got a nice layout. It's, you know, you've got all your rows and everything. And most people that attend, like Ron and I, will walk every inch of that thing.
Because every row.
I want to find those hidden gems, those products that, you know, somebody's in a spot that they're not happy about. But good buyers, good product scouts, service providers, they're gonna walk every inch of that show anyway. So I don't think it's, you know, if someone sees that there's not a prime spot left that they shouldn't sign up, I think it doesn't matter really.
Well, you know, that being said, I know that, you know, when I walk shows, you know, when I start getting towards the way back in the back, I'm getting tired and my attention span goes down. So, you know, signing up early is important. I think Flip Wilson had a saying of the booth in the back in the corner in the dark. If you're way back at the very end, you know, out of the traffic pattern, you know you're not going to get as much, attention than if you've right there when you walk in the door, you know.
Right. That's the thing. If you're right there, like I said, prime real estate by the front door, you're pretty safe to say everybody's going to be coming in and out. But, you know, I'll tell you, I get some requests. There are people who want to be – they don't want to be up at the front. They want to be back by the bathroom because they say, well, everybody has to go to the bathroom
at
some point.
Well, they're just shy and they don't want to, you know, have to –
Yeah, I mean, there are people that want to be – we have a VIP lounge on the show floor with companies. It's an opportunity for them to go and have a drink, sit down, make a deal.
That's where we're going, Ron.
Exactly.
I'm not here to see any inventors. I'm going to the VIP and having a special treatment.
A lot of people want to be close to that area, which is smart because they say, well, I know companies are going to be going in there. So,
yeah, that sounds like a good strategy. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for being our guest today. It's been really informative, and I think all of our listeners have got a lot more information now about Impex.
Impex.com.
That's
Impex.com.
Right.
Thank you guys so much. It was great.
Hey, okay. Thanks, Nicole, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay. And this has
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this has been another exciting adventure, you know, episode of The Launch Hour with Jim DeBetta and our producer, Lee Cantor.